For our short sermon today, we're going to be reading out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, two verses. This is Hebrews 9, verses 27 to 28, and this is God's word, and it is eternally true. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, to those who eagerly wait him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, many of us gathered just a few months ago on Adam's passing, and we're back here. So death is not a stranger. Death is not unknown to this family. And so we read out of 1 Corinthians 15 just a few months ago on the hope of the resurrection. This passage today talks about three appointments that God has made that all men are subject to. We know, what are the constants in life? Death and taxes, right? Death and taxes. Well, God says there's three. Death is the common one. All men will die. God has also appointed that after death comes the judgment. There is a judgment for which we all feel the burden of sin. Whether we've killed that bit of conscience in us or we have not, or if we're sensitive to it still, we all have this knowledge in us that we are held to a standard. There is a standard to which we must apply ourselves. Just like in the law, just like in the world, you see a speed limit sign and you know the speed limit's 25 miles an hour. And so if you drive 45 through it, you know that there's the possibility that you'll see the lights behind you. You will see, and your guilt will be brought to bear upon you. We know that. The third appointment, though, is that God has appointed that Christ was offered once to bear the sins of the many for their salvation. Today, we live in a day of grace. We live in a day where the burden of our sin, God allows. You know, you've driven by a police officer, haven't you? And he did not pull out and clip you for your speeding? That's a day of grace. That's a minute of grace. That's an hour of grace. We live in a day of grace. But a day is reserved for each of us that marks the end of our earthly life. The end of all we know by experience. The end of routine, right? The waking, the sleeping, the working, the eating. All the things that we know are regular routine. Death ends those things. And it opens up the great unknown. All that we don't know. But there are some things that we do know. We know that death is revulsive, right? Death is horrible. We want to avoid it. We want to look away from it. We want to ignore it. We want to cover our eyes from seeing death. I was talking to a funeral director recently, and he said, no one wants funeral services anymore. They want to have an online web page where they can just type something in at midnight, and they don't want to come see death and dying. They don't want to see and feel the weight of death at a funeral service. It's because this is work, and it reminds us of the reality of our life. It reminds us that we are appointed a time to die. Death is not natural. All death came as a punishment. A punishment for sin, the sin that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And it was through one man's death that sin entered the world. And to see death, to be reminded, to gather at a funeral, is to be reminded of the reality that this is the end that awaits us all. This is the consequence of sin. We have this secret understanding that we will stand before a great judge. We know about those two appointments. We know about death, and we know we've got that baseline understanding that there is a judgment coming. So we try to forget about our sins, right? That's the easy solution. We think that if we forget about our sins, that God will forget about our sins as well. The judge will forget about those sins. We forget about all the ways we've hurt our family and our neighbors. We forget about our selfishness. We try and drink away the guilt or smoke away the guilt of how we've betrayed our marriage commitments. We've taken financial advantage of each other, squandered what we had. Or if we can't forget about them, we try and cover them up. We try and cover up our sins by not telling anyone about it. We try and cover up our sins by doing good works, right? You donate, you feed the neighbor, you help out at the after-school program. There's all these ways that we try and cover up to make right, to make ourselves presentable so that we look good to the judge. But I'm here to tell you that this is hopeless. Not that life is hopeless, but this work to forget about your sins, to cover your sins, that work is hopeless. God is not a blind old man or a fearful wife or a weak child. He is the all-knowing, all-seeing, everlasting God who not only sees all of our actions, but he sees through us all the way into our hearts. He knows our hearts, our feelings, our thoughts, our desires, even the secret desires that we don't act on. And that's the standard that God judges. No, you won't get anywhere by ignoring or forgetting or trying to cover up your sins. There is only one way to deal with the guilt of your sins, and God himself provided it. This is the third appointment. The third appointment is that Jesus Christ was appointed by God to be offered up once for the sins of all. The sins of all who would believe on him. This is what happened on the cross. Jesus took the sins of all his people, all who would believe in him. Everyone who looks at his life, looks at your own life and sees your sins, the stinking sins, and hates them and wants to be free of that burden. Because listen, sin is a burden. Our selfishness, our lies, the ways that we've broken our obligations to God and to man, it weighs us down. And it will weigh us down to eternal damnation if we don't deal with it, if we don't look to see that Jesus Christ has paid it all. He has taken that, the guilt, the punishment that is deserving for every man, he has taken on himself, and he offers his perfect righteousness in place of our stinking sin for all who would believe and approach him. But what we have to see is that the guilt and the shame that we feel in our secret places, in our bedrooms, in our closets, laying on our bed when we can't sleep at night, the guilt and shame of sin is not the problem. That is a tool that God uses, that is a good tool that God uses to draw you to him, to draw you to him to see your need of a Savior. Don't kill the guilt and shame. Don't let it drive you to drink. Don't let it drive you to distraction. Let it drive you to Jesus. Jesus offers freedom from sin, sin's consequences, and sin's overwhelming power in this life. And in the next, not just freedom from sins, but freedom from the consequence of sins, freedom from the presence of sins, completely removed from the believer's life. That freedom is yours by repenting of those sins, turning away from the wickedness and the unrighteousness, hating it, and turning to God and saying, I need to be healed. I need to be saved. Eagerly waiting for Jesus until that day when you also breathe your final breath. Christ at his coming will make it known how truly and really he has taken away sin so that there's no need of anything else to pacify God. What you need is to look to Jesus with faith. Nothing more is necessary. He's done it all. But you must come to him, and you must believe in him. That is the only way of dealing with sin and guilt. Do not forget God's appointments. A day to die, a day to be judged, and a Savior appointed to save. The only way to effectively deal with the depth of our guilt for sin that each one of us carries inside. Jesus' one-time sacrifice, paying that debt that we owed, taking on the punishment that we deserved, and freeing us from sin's power and sin's consequence, all to the glory of God. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you have made appointments that we can't escape. No matter how hard we try, no matter how loud the radio is, we can't escape. We can't distract ourselves from the reality of sin and death. And we are here to remember. We are here to remember not only that reality, our own reality. We're here to remember, Ronnie, and we're here to see all the ways you provide for us, all the ways that you have given us promises for something more than this life. So, Father, we're about to sing Amazing Grace. Help us to believe and to trust in your provision. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.